This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Welcome everyone. This week's Davar Yafa B'Itai is being filmed live in Melbourne, Australia by my good friend Gary Shapiro and Ben Shapiro. And if you're wondering, but Gary was just in Sydney. No, he came to join us in Melbourne for Shabbos. We're at the home of Reb Lior Steen. And this week's Davar Yafa B'Itai is very interesting and important because we're moving closer to the great day of Rosh Hashanah. And what's interesting is there are more mitzvahs in Parshas Kisetze than any other parsha in the year. Ben, do you think it's a coincidence that there are more mitzvahs in Kisetze than any other parsha in the year? No, can't be a coincidence. That it must be significant. It must be that the fact that Hashem gave us more mitzvahs in Kisetze than any other time of the year, this is a proper preparation for the Yom Hadin, the great day of Rosh Hashanah. In fact, in the Sefer Sifsei Tzadik, Parshas Kisetze, he writes that there are 74 mitzvahs in this week's parsha, more mitzvahs than any other time of the year. Why? Because we know there's an idea. When you learn about something, it's like you fulfilled it. It's like you observed it. When you learn about a carbon oila, it's like you're a makriv an oila. When you learn about a different carbon, it's like you brought that carbon. By learning about these 74 mitzvahs, it's considered like we fulfilled them. And before the Yom HaDin, when Hashem is weighing our mitzvos versus averos, Hashem is being mezakeh us. He's giving us the great merit of adding another 74 mitzvos to our repertoire so that when the Yom HaDin comes, it will outweigh to the side of zuchus. So this is the first offering from the Sefer Sifsei Tzadik. Then the opening narrative of Parshas Kisetze is the situation of the Yifas Tayar. So if a man goes to war and he sees a Yifas Tayar, a beautiful woman, even if she's a Gentile, there's a certain allowance made under the circumstance. And what's interesting is that the Torah tells us if one sees this Yifas Tayar, there's a special procedure to be done. And she cries for her father and her mother, Yarach Yamim, for a month of days. So the Yisoid V'Shar Shavoida in Shar HaMayim brings in the name of the Zayar Chadash Ubachsa Esaviyah V'Esima, the month that she cries for her father and mother, the Zayar says is the month of Elul. So what do you know? The first halacha, the first episode mentioned in Kisetze about the month of crying is a reference to Chodesh Elul. In fact, the Arizal says that when a person comes to do tshuva, that means he's going out to war against the Yetzihara. Then Vishavisa Shivyai, his entire system is in captivity, is held hostage, so to speak, by the Yetzihara. And you're going to see in captivity is the Yifas Tayar, a beautiful woman. That's a reference to the Neshama. The Gilcha Es Roisha, you shave her head. That refers to removing bad ideology. You let her nails grow long. That's a reference to cutting her knee. That's a reference to removing excessive luxury and physical indulgence. And then it says she will cry for her father, that the neshama cries for Hashem, and her mother, Knesset Yisrael. For how long? Yarach Yamim. Says Ari, Yarach Yamim is a reference to Chodesh Elul, which is Zman Tshuva. Likewise, Arachayim HaKadosh says Yarach Yamim is a reference to the month of Elul. Interestingly, in the Sefer Imrei Noyam, he brings that the words Teitzei Lamalchama Ala Yevecha is Gematria Elul plus 720. Because there's 720 hours in the month of Elul, 30 times 24. Okay, so that's another remez to Elul. Therefore, the mitzvah of Eishes Yifas Tayar is Yafe Be'itai is relevant to this time of the year. Now, we have another amazing remez to Elul. It says, V'haya B'yayim hanchilay espanav Eis asher yiyeh loy lo yuchal. It says loy, loy. Lamed vav, lamed aleph. Oh, says it's brought that those letters loy, loy are the letters of Elul. Loy, loy. It says V'haya b'yayim hanchilay espanav Eis asher yiyeh loy lo yuchal. that spells out Elul. Another reference to Elul, the Sfas Emes brings in this week's Parsha, in the year Tafresh Mem, Ki Hashem Leikecha Mishalech Bekerev Machanecha, for Hashem goes in your camp, Lahatzilcha, to save you, Veloseis Oyevecha Lefanecha, V'haya Machanecha Kadosh. So the Sfas Emes says, Lehatzilcha Veloseis Oyevecha Lefanecha is Rashi Tevois, Elol Lehatzilcha Lamed, Veloseis Vav, Oyevecha Aleph, Lefanecha Lamed. That's a reference to Elol, meaning to say that in the month of Elol, Hashem goes in our camp. He's assisting us. He's together with us, provided that V'haya machanecha kadosh, provided that our camp and our environment is holy, v'layira b'cha ervas davar, and we don't gaze at immorality. There are another, and that my friend Rabbi Yisrael Eliezer Levy shared with me from the Sfas Emes. There are another three ramazim to Elul in this week's parsha. You have, it says, kisach boit zeisecha, when you're harvesting your olives, loy sifa'er acharecha lager layosim v'la almana yia. Spells out Elul. Acharecha lager layosim v'la almana. Then the next pasuk, kisivtsar karmecha loy sa'oilel acharecha lager layosim v'la almana. That's Perek Chav Dalet, pasuk Chav Aleph. Rashi Tevis Elul. And then in the pasuk, kiyeshvu achim yachdav umeis echad mehem ubein. You see, Ben, your name is in this week's parasha. Ubein, ein, loy, loy, siya. Ubein, ein, loy, loy is Rashi Tevis Elul. Okay. Now this is very interesting. The Torah shares with us the situation of somebody married a woman, and then he says, and he claims, he accuses her that she's not a basula, and it turns out he was lying, and it was false. Then the halacha is that if we can prove that indeed she was a basula, then he was moitzi shemra on her, he has libeled her, he has to give her 100 kesef, and the husband can never send her away. So, it is said over that the Rebbe, Rebbe Yeshua of Jacob, would say Erev Yom Kippur before Kol Nidrei. He explained the pasuk as follows. This Nara Hamurasa, it's talking about a woman who was engaged for marriage. She did Kiddushin, but she didn't consummate it yet. And then when the husband consummates it, he said, oh, but she's not a Basula. And it says he is libeling her. V'hine hu sam alilois tevarim lemar, loy matzasi lebitcha besulim. But ve'ela besule biti, the father shows, no, she was a besula. So the Rabbi Shua of Jacob would interpret as follows. The Satan comes and he libels the Jewish people. And he says, we were treacherous against God. He says, lo matzasi lebitcha besulim. He says to God, even in the month of Elul, the mazel of Elul is besula. So the Satan says to God, even in Elul, the Jewish people are not loyal to you. They don't serve you in Elul. This is the libel of the Satan. He says, Lai matzasi lebitcha besulim. He says, the Jewish people, your daughter, were not faithful to you even in Besula, even in the month of Elul. And then the Rebbe went and he approached the Aron Kodesh and he said, Uparsu hasimla. Literally, the father spreads out the sheet and he shows that there was Dam Besulim. But it means we then tell God, spread out, open up the paroiches, and go to the Torah and see if the Torah will testify to our favor. Hashem, why are you believing the Satan? In the Torah it says, he's lying, that indeed we were a Besula, and therefore you need to punish the Satan. You need to fine him Mea Kesef. You need to pay us, God, with a year of Parnasa. You need to pay us, God, that you can never ever send us away and you are attached to us forever, because this accusation was purely a libel. In that vein, perhaps we can interpret that when it says in this week's parasha, Ki hoitzi shem ra al besulas Yisrael, that besula is a reference to Chodesh Elul. And it's saying, don't waste Elul bera. Don't abuse Elul. Don't waste time in Elul. Don't be moitzi this man of Besula of Elul in an Inyan Ra, but take advantage of every moment of Elul. Now, very interesting. The end of this week's parasha, we read about Amalek. You know, what do we have to do to Amalek? We have to destroy the memory of Amalek. It's interesting that we read about Amalek in the very end of the year. When else during the year do we read about Amalek? In Chodesh Adar, right before Purim. Adar is also the last month of the year. So isn't it interesting, in Adar before Nisan and in Elul before Shoshana, both times we read about destroying Amalek. By the way, another commonality is next week we're going to read about the mitzvah Bikurim, which is called Reishis. Also in Mishpatim, right before Purim, we read about the mitzvah of Bikurim. So we suggest in our humble sefer on Purim, Magad Rekhi on Purim, Amalek is called Reishis. Reishis Goyim Amalek. Before we could start the Reishis of the year, the beginning of the year, before we could have a good beginning, we need to destroy the Reishis of Amalek. By destroying the Reishis of Amalek, that is the method that we can embark upon a new Reishis, L'Toiva. One more offering. We know that if someone violates one of the laven in the Torah and they're warned, one of the possible punishments is malchus, lashes. How many lashes? The Torah says arba'im, 40. But the Gemara says we don't give somebody 40 lashes, we give how many? 39. Arba'im chasar achas. What's the rationale for that? The Torah says 40. Why would we give 39? The Maral says the reason for 40 lashes is it doesn't say give arba'im. It says b'mispar arba'im, a number that tallies off 40, and explains as follows. The 40 lashes corresponds to the 40 days of the development of a fetus. It takes 40 days for a baby to develop. Why 40 days? 39 days for the body and one day for the neshama. The reason for 40 malchus is the body sinned and the neshama sinned. Now the neshama on its own is pure, would never sin. It's because of its association with the body that the neshama tags along and sins. The 40 malchus that the Torah says one is liable to is to punish the body and the soul together. But once we've given 39 and the body is pure, then the neshama has nothing to pay for. Because the neshama's liability is only because of his association with the body, which is not pure. Once the body has been purified with 39 malchus, there's no reason anymore to give the 40th. I would humbly suggest that this idea of the Maral, that you're liable to 40 malchus, but once you give 39, the 40th one is not necessary, is analogous to the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur. You see, the first 39 days purify our body. But once we've been through the first 39 days, then we just have Yom Kippur, which is the day of the soul, and now we're ready for full atonement. In other words, we're liable to 40 lashes, but once we receive 39, the 40th is not needed anymore because the 40th were white and pristine already. So too the 40 days from Elul to Yom Kippur. But if we use the 39 days properly, then on Yom Kippur, we are restored to a completely spiritual entity, and we are given the great gift of complete purity on Yom HaKippurim. So this idea of 40 malchus, but really 39, is an analogy to the 40 days of tshuva, that after 39 days of our tshuva, our neshama remains completely pure. So that is this week's Davar Yafeh Be'itai, live from Melbourne, Australia. Wish everyone a beautiful Shabbos.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.